Richard stood transfixed for a moment or two, wiped his forehead again, and gently replaced the phone as if it were an injured hamster. His brain began to buzz gently and suck its thumb. Lots of little synapses deep in his cerebral cortex all joined hands and started dancing around and singing nursery rhymes. He shook his head to try and make them stop and quickly sat down at the answering machine again. He fought with himself over whether or not he was going to push the play button again, and then did so anyway before he had made up his mind. Hardly 4 seconds of light orchestral music had oozed soothingly past when there came the sound of a key scratching in the lock out in the hallway. In panic, Richard thumped the eject button, popped the cassette out, rammed it into his jeans pocket, and replaced it from the pile of fresh cassettes that lay next to the machine. There was a similar pile next to his own machine at home. Susan at the office provided them. Poor, long-suffering Susan at the office. He must remember to feel sympathy for her in the morning, when he had the time and concentration for it. Suddenly, without even noticing himself doing it, he changed his mind. In a flash, he popped the substitute cassette out of the machine again, replaced the one he had stolen, rammed down the rewind button, and made a lunge for the sofa, where, with 2 seconds to go before the door opened, he tried to arrange himself into a nonchalant and winning posture. On an impulse, he stuck his left hand up behind his back, where it might come in useful. He was just trying to arrange his features into an expression composed in equal parts of contrition, cheerfulness, and sexual allurement, when the door opened and in walked Michael Wenton Weeks. Everything stopped. Outside, the wind ceased. Owls halted in mid-flight. Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Certainly the central heating chose that moment to shut down, unable perhaps to cope with the supernatural chill that suddenly seemed to whip through the room. "What are you doing here, Wednesday?" demanded Richard. He rose from the sofa as if levitated with anger. Michael Wenton Weeks was a large, sad-faced man, known by some people as Michael Wednesday Week, because that was when he usually promised to have things done by. He was dressed in a suit that had been superbly well tailored when his father, the late Lord Magna, had bought it 40 years previously. Michael Wenton Weeks came very high on the small but select list of people whom Richard thoroughly disliked. He disliked him because he found the idea of someone who was not only privileged, but was also sorry for himself because he thought the world didn't really understand the problems of privileged people, deeply obnoxious. Michael, on the other hand, disliked Richard for the fairly simple reason that Richard disliked him and made no secret of it. Michael gave a slow and lugubrious look back out into the hallway as Susan walked through. She stopped when she saw Richard. She put down her handbag, unwound her scarf, unbuttoned her coat, slipped it off, handed it to Michael, walked over to Richard, and smacked him in the face. "I've been saving that up all evening," she said furiously, "and don't pretend that's a bunch of flowers you've forgotten to bring, which you're hiding behind your back. You tried that gag last time." She turned and stalked off. "It's a box of chocolates I forgot this time," said Richard glumly, and held out his empty hand to her retreating back. "I climbed up the entire outside wall without them. Did I feel a fool when I got in?" "Not very funny," said Susan. She swept into the kitchen and sounded as if she was grinding coffee with her bare hands. For someone who always looked so neat and sweet and delicate, she packed a hell of a temper. "It's true," said Richard, ignoring Michael completely. "I nearly killed myself." "I'm not going to rise to that," said Susan from within the kitchen. "If you want something big and sharp thrown at you, why don't you come in here and be funny?" "I suppose it'll be pointless saying I'm sorry at this point," Richard called out. "You bet," said Susan, sweeping back out of the kitchen again. She looked at him with her eyes flashing and actually stamped her foot. "Honestly, Richard," she said, "I suppose you're going to say you forgot again. How can you have the gall to stand there with two arms, two legs and a head as if you're a human being? This is behaviour that a bout of amoebic dysentery would be ashamed of. I bet that even the very lowest form of dysentery amoeba shows up to take its girlfriend out for a quick trot around the stomach lining once in a while. Well, I hope you had a lousy evening." "I did," said Richard. "You wouldn't have liked it. There was a horse in the bathroom, and you know how you hate that sort of thing." "Oh, Michael," said Susan brusquely, "don't just stand there like a sinking pudding. Thank you very much for dinner and the concert. You were very sweet, and I did enjoy listening to your troubles all evening because they were such a nice change from mine. But I think it'd be best if I just found your book and pushed you out. I've got some serious jumping up and down and ranting to do, and I know how it upsets your delicate sensibilities."